The Wisconsin Constitution currently bars sports gambling outside of tribal grounds. But a bill introduced last week by a bipartisan group of lawmakers would let tribes set up servers on tribal land, and users could legally connect with and gamble on those servers from anywhere in the state.
This comes as Wisconsin's Ho-Chunk Nation is suing the companies Kelce and Robinhood, alleging that they're already operating illegal online sports betting operations in the state. And we'll dig into that part of the story in just a bit.
First State Senator Kristen Dazler-Alfheim of Appleton is a co-author of the new legislation. She's a Democrat representing a district in the Fox Cities. Senator Dazler-Alfheim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so you've joined this group, bipartisan group of lawmakers, with this expansion of gambling legislation. Why do this now, first of all?
Well, one, anytime we can start working together across the aisles, I think it's a good choice. And in this case, it's just a matter of opening up a tool that we already have access to in gambling in the state of Wisconsin. This would allow the rest of Wisconsin to take care of the online access, which 37 or 38 other states in Wisconsin, in the country, already have. So really, it's just giving everyone access to the online markets that the rest of the country is enjoying that our state has not had access to via the spoken wheel method.
Now, we've had initially in Wisconsin's Constitution, gambling was just right out. We've loosened that up bit by bit over the years. Then court rulings on tribal gambling loosened things up more. How would it work in your legislation, opening things up for tribes to operate statewide online sports gambling?
Yes, so it is part of our compact with the tribes that they are allowed to provide gambling. And obviously, Wisconsin endorses that. We even have our own Powerball and our scratch-off tickets. So this just would allow them to, with the wheel and spoke method, allows them to have access off of their grounds to the online sports betting world. Right now, you can enter their facility and bet on the same things. This just allows the mobile access to those DraftKings-type models that everyone sees as they're watching their sports on Sunday.
Have you been watching how this works in other states? I think Florida was one of the first states to have this kind of model.
Yeah, it's not new legislation. Like I said, there are 37 or 38 other states that have already approved it and are using it successfully. Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico. This is not new legislation. We're a little slow to act.
What do you see as the revenue side of things for state government here, and knowing that there's some compact negotiation that would have to happen?
Yeah, certainly the tribes will be contracting with multiple sources. Our assumption is that it's going to be about a 10% increase. So if currently it's about $66 million, it should kick in perhaps another $6 to $8 million. It really is a little bit of a guess, as until it's up and running, we won't know the true volume.
One concern is that, and I've talked to people who are experts on online gambling, not everyone who gambles is going to be a problem gambler, but some people will. And having it so that, in effect, the casino is in your pocket for people who do develop compulsive gambling problems, it's going to be bigger. What kind of steps would you want to see either in this legislation or in a negotiated compact to help deal with the consequences of problem gambling?
I think in all cases, and that exists today, there are entertaining gamblers, social gamblers, and then there are those that have a problem. That doesn't change with access to this tool. Those that are compulsive gamblers already are accessing every tool that they have. We need to continue to offer resources and education to everyone to make sure they have the help they need. That will continue to be a problem. It is the rest of the dynamic, the rest of the people who are just using it for entertainment, that we're allowing to have them have access to a tool that everybody else already has.
Now, we've got in the news today this arrest of some NBA players, coaches, former players, a former Milwaukee Buck, in fact, because of the influence of gambling, organized crime on these kind of sports bets. Do you worry that expanding this kind of gambling in Wisconsin could lead to more corruption in our sports, professional, maybe even at the college level?
Listen, every industry, there are people that lack integrity. And in this case, this is our sports professionals. I don't think in any way someone who it can self, I don't think they should be able to self deal. If you are playing a professional sport or managing a professional sport, you should not have the ability to gamble on that sport. That is an integrity issue that if it can't be managed personally by personal choices, then there could be legislation on that. People involved in the sport should not be commanding those bets. That's a given question. That is an integrity issue with the individuals that are playing and managing those sports.
And as we wrap up, you've got some bipartisan sponsorship on this bill. What do you see as a timeline and the prospects for this thing passing?
Well, I hope that it gets its hearing and we can all have some public input on it. So if there are any changes that are needed or that we're missing, we can take care of that and add it in, amend it, whatever necessary. And then we can move it through the Assembly and the Senate rather quickly. There are only so many opportunities in the Senate calendar, but we have a few yet this year. And so I'm hoping it moves forward in time for those.
Senator Dazzler Alfheim, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was State Senator Kristen Dazzler Alfheim of Appleton. She was talking about new legislation that would legalize online gambling throughout Wisconsin. This debate over sports gambling comes as a lawsuit from Wisconsin's Ho-Chunk Nation alleges that prediction markets, Kalshi and Robinhood, are already facilitating online sports betting in Wisconsin. The tribe sued both companies in August, arguing that the services are effectively operating illegal online sports books in the state. To learn more, we're joined by Alexander Osipovich. He's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal covering exchanges, market structure, and cryptocurrencies. He's following this story. Alexander, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
This might be new to some people. These prediction markets working in the sports field, Kalshi isn't the one that's in Wisconsin news because of a lawsuit. What are these things? How do they work? How do they differ from those, you know, DraftKings or FanDuels that people might be more familiar with?
Prediction markets are exchanges where people can basically bet on future events. Usually, the way they're set up is that you bet yes or no on some question. So, for instance, will Donald Trump win the presidential election? You can bet on that. And if you're right, at the end of the day, you win a dollar. If you're wrong, you get zero. And in between, before it settles, it is some price. And that price is a certain number of cents, which represents the percentage likelihood of it happening. So if Donald Trump shares are trading at 60 cents, it means there is a 60% chance of him winning the election in the wisdom of the market. These things can cover a lot of different territories. They can have bets on, you know, whether a hurricane will hit Florida this year. Traditionally, they did not get into sports because that was seen as the domain of state regulators, and it was not something that the prediction markets did. But recently, Kalshi and a couple others have begun doing this in sports.
They've been doing this in sports, in part, as I understand it, because of a ruling in their past efforts, especially in presidential elections, saying a court saying, well, no, this isn't gambling. This is a futures market. Do I have that right? And did that open the door some for them?
The court ruling that really changed things took place late last year, and it allowed Kalshi to offer betting on elections. This court ruling also kind of unsettled the law and made it unclear what sort of things were allowed and what weren't allowed. And Kalshi decided beginning of this year to offer contracts on the Super Bowl and other types of sporting events like March Madness. And this coincided with the Trump administration taking office. The Trump administration is pretty relaxed when it comes to financial regulation. And the regulator that oversees Kalshi, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, has basically not really done anything to stop this from happening.
How widespread now is the sports part of this, not gambling, this prediction market right now?
So Kalshi operates in all 50 states. It has a federal license and says that gives it the right to basically offer this everywhere, even in states where there are state-level prohibitions against the traditional kind of gambling. There are definitely some states that are upset about this. Kalshi is fighting in court with a number of different state regulators that are saying, hey, you're offering these contracts that are effectively the same as sports bets, and we want to stop you from doing that. So far, Kalshi has been able to hold its ground and has not been forced to stop offering its sports contracts in any state. And apparently it's actually doing quite well. With the start of NFL season, their trading volumes really took off, and they are beginning to be a real threat to the traditional sports books.
Right. So if I wanted to place a bet on the Packer game this weekend, I said, I'll bet a dollar that the Packers will win, and I don't go to a tribal casino, that bet is illegal. If I go to a futures market and invest a dollar, put a dollar at stake on that future, according to Kalshi, and so far courts, I guess that is legal?
Kalshi says it's legal. So far, its lawyers have won most of the initial rounds in court, but it is a legally unsettled area. There are a number of gambling lobbying groups that are very upset about this. Kalshi has also been sued by some Indian tribes. And ultimately, it may take the Supreme Court to resolve this question.
Right. Wisconsin's Ho-Chunk Nation is why we're talking to you right now. They have joined one of these lawsuits against Kalshi and Robinhood. They're joining lawsuits in others that joins lawsuits in other states. How common is it for tribal groups like the Ho-Chunk are now to be suing Kalshi and these other operations?
There were some tribes in California which sued Kalshi earlier this year, and they basically make a similar argument. They say that this infringes on tribal sovereignty, and it's from a big picture level, it's similar to what the states are saying. They're saying that Kalshi should not be getting into this area.
Market scope. How do these prediction markets that offer ways to make predictions on the outcomes of sporting events, how does their market compare to, you know, the DraftKings and FanDuel that we see all these ads for?
So far, they are still relatively small. From my discussions with people in this industry, my understanding is that they're not really a big threat to DraftKings or FanDuel yet. They haven't taken a lot of business. But where they are a threat is that they can operate in states where there is no traditional sports betting. DraftKings and FanDuel can't operate in California or Texas. And there are a number of other states like that. Whereas Kalshi has this argument saying that we have a federal license, we can go all 50 states. So what's actually happening now is that the traditional sports books are looking to acquire prediction markets. DraftKings just announced it was buying something called the Railbird Exchange, which is a federally licensed exchange that it could potentially use to offer sports trading nationwide.
So it seems like the doors are wide open, right? If I want to risk money based on the outcome of a game or subsets thereof, there's got to be an opportunity for me to do it with all these guys getting into this prediction market.
You're right. I would say that there are a few things different about the prediction markets and sports. So, for instance, when you are betting in a traditional sports book, you are betting against the house. There is a sports book that amasses all these different bets, sets the odds, and that's who you are facing off against. And ultimately, the way these sports books make money is they make money from losers. You lose money and they get a cut of that, and they pay out some of it to the winners. On a prediction market, it's a bit different because you are actually facing other traders. So a bunch of people are betting for one team, other people are betting on the other team, and these things face off against each other in the same way that buyers and sellers in the stock market determine the prices of stocks. So the people who run prediction markets would argue that this is a little bit fairer. And they also make money differently. They don't make money from losers or from winners. What they do is they make money from fees every time somebody buys in or out of the market.
Alexander, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Alexander Osipovich is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal covering exchanges, market structures, and cryptocurrencies. We also talked to State Senator Kristen Dasler-Alfheim about a new gambling law here in the state.